We've looked at four night trials, and now we're going to do another three trials before Pilate, and then before Judas, and then before Pilate again. The first four were conducted by the Jews, the last three by the Romans. Christ was rejected. Last time we looked at his unique rejection. He, the God of heaven, being rejected by creatures. I'm sure you've had this experience of rejection. There are different kinds of rejection in life. And we have to handle it. And I think the best model to look at is the model of Christ. Someone else preferred you above someone else. They shouted that they reject him. Right out, we reject you. We don't want you. They shouted that they prefer Barabbas to Jesus. They shouted, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Take your rejection to Christ for comfort. And go through the pain. Pain has got a way of healing as well. Luke 23, verse 22. Then he said to them the third time, why, what evil has he done? This is Pilate. I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. So they came to Pilate with a long list of reasons why Christ should be crucified, died. And then he said, but I find no fault in him. But to satisfy you, I'll chastise him. Verse 23. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. Not lacerated, but crucifixion. This is all we want, Pilate. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. Did Pilate really chastise Jesus because this was a very cruel type of punishment? Let us consult another witness. John, come and tell us. He says in 19 verse 1, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. So two people confirm this. Eusebius mentions the incidents in Smyrna where people were chastised in such a way that their intestines were visible. Isaiah 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The verse says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Without his chastisement, we would never have enjoyed peace. We would never have had the joy of experiencing the pleasant emotion of peace. Was it not for the fact that Jesus was chastised? So whenever you have the emotion of peace, you can take it back to the time when Christ suffered for you. So peace was bought at a tremendous price. May we never forget what a tremendous price Jesus paid for our peace and for cleansing us of our sins. May we always abhor the ugliness of sin that caused the inhumane treatment of Christ. Mark 15, 16 to 18. Then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." So, just about the same treatment he received in the judgment hall of Caiaphas, he now receives again in the praetorium. Verse 19, then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, second time of spitting. And bowing to the knee, they worshipped him. This was mocking a king. This was how they crowned a king in the Roman times. But what they actually did, they crowned Jesus as the King of salvation, the King of patience, the King of forgiveness. The Gospel of John says that every time they mocked him as the King of the Jews, they also smacked him in the face. They kept on smiting him in the face. This was an ongoing exercise. What a humiliation. They spat on him at the courtroom of Caiaphas, and now he's getting it again. They kept on smacking him, spitting him. Happened to you? What a humiliation. They grabbed the reed that they placed in his hand, a scepter, and struck him on the head. You know, he had a crown of thorns on his head, so it just penetrated a little deeper. The crown of thorns were forced into the head, and he bled profusely. You notice if you have a wound on your head, it's blood all over. Can you imagine what he must have looked like? Because he was bound, he could not wipe the blood or the sweat from his face. This was the greatest coronation ever recorded. He was crowned as the King of our salvation. You know, I think it'll take quite a few million years to say thank you to Christ when we get there. They mocked him and cursed him, and they abused him. This was the fifth trial. Satan was trying his best to tempt Jesus to escape this treatment and thereby cancelling the plan of salvation. Only slip up once, Jesus, and I've got you. But Jesus was focused. He saw your face and mine. He decided he cannot slip up in one minor point. Would you tolerate abuse if it was in your power to stop it? Would you allow the scum to spit in your face if it was in your power to prevent it? You know, we've got the legal system and we take people to court. Jesus decided to pay the price for our salvation, and nothing could deter him. He'll stick it out for you and me. Our salvation was of greater importance than his humiliation and treatment and death. Do you realize how much he loves you? Do you realize how much he wants you to be with him forever? The second thing the devil wanted to accomplish was to get Jesus to retaliate. If Jesus would only fail once, then his sacrifice would not be perfect and the plan of salvation would be ineffective and we would be lost, the entire human race. How should we as sinners thank him for the price he paid for our salvation? The greatest sign that Jesus possessed divinity was not only his miracles, his impeccable behavior during his inhumane treatment testifies to the fact that he truly was the Son of God. Never could a human being behave like he behaved under these circumstances. The cruelty of those who abused him made them lower than the beasts of the field. In contrast to their behavior, Jesus gave ample evidence by his faultless behavior that he was the Messiah of prophecy. I'm so glad I'm saved, not by what I do, but what he's done for me. I'll never make it. He has made it for me. And we just have to accept the gift and treasure it. It was as if the heavy surges of wrath rising higher and higher, like the waves of the boisterous ocean, broke about him, but did not touch him. He stood silent, but his silence was eloquence. The blood flowing from his wounded head was the oil that anointed him as our great high priest. Why did Pilate fetch Barabbas from jail to pose next to Jesus? So here you've got a picture of Pilate. On this side was Barabbas. On this side was Jesus. By lashing Jesus with 39 stripes, he endeavored to elicit their sympathy. He failed, and they only became more bloodthirsty. John 19:4-5, Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Can you see him? And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man," echo homo, Latin. "Behold this man. Have you ever seen somebody like him?" On the Via Dolorosa, you can visit the Ecce Homo arch on the Via Dolorosa with its different stations. It was here where Pilate contrasted the sinlessness of Jesus with the vileness of Barabbas. This is the archaeological site, the real site. I often went into this chapel, Ecce Homo Chapel, to relive what happened here. Pilate exposes his back so that they could see what it looked like. So he turned Jesus around so that they could see his back lacerated. This was the first laceration of 39 lashes in the power of Pilate. Remember, he had another 26 on his chest. What a sight. They look at this. Would this affect them? Jesus wore an old bloodstained purple garment and a crown of thorns on his head. You know, he paid a tremendous price for us. Signs of pain and exhaustion was clearly visible. You know, he only had food and fluid during the Passover meal. He is dehydrated now, and a loss of blood. This was a terrible sight. But never before did he look more attractive. What a paradox. He looked so attractive in spite of his situation. Out of that battered body shone a divine tenderness. His body language was proclaiming godly status. Not the slightest animosity towards his enemies. Unbelievable. The people couldn't take this. Tender sympathy and love from his painful, weary eyes reached the people in front of him. I do not detect the slightest evidence of weakness and cowardness in my Lord when he came to save me. He was a man in every respect. He posed with royal dignity next to Pilate and Barabbas. Can you see the three of them? Can you picture the contrast between Christ and the prisoner Barabbas? Every line of the countenance of Barabbas proclaimed him the hardened ruffian that he was. People could compare the faces of these three. Some of the spectators were weeping. They were weeping as they looked upon Jesus. Their hearts were full of sympathy. Even the priests and rulers were convicted that he was all that he claimed to be. Listen to John's account just before Jesus was crucified. Verse 6, chapter 19. Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, with a loud voice, a demonic voice, "Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." 7 and 8. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid. 9 and 10. And went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from? I've never seen someone like you. Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Why don't you speak to me? Do you know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you, Jesus? I'm the governor." Verse 12. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." Oh, his position. "Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." 13 and 14. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, lithostratos, but in Hebrew, Gabbata. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Echo homo Latin. But they cried out, verse 15, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Barabbas was set free. And Jesus? Verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away. Now, was there really someone like Pilate? Loretta sits at the ancient amphitheater at Caesarea. This is where a tremendous discovery was made in 1961. This broken stone was part of an altar dedicated to Caesar Augustus. And here they found the name of Pontius Pilate. While looking at the name of Pontius Pilate, I realized anew that the account of Jesus and his death on the cross is authentic in more than one way. There was a Roman governor by the name of Pontius Pilate. There was someone called Jesus who died on a Roman cross to save you and me. Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." Can you hear the sound of water as Pilate washes his hands? I love the melody of water flowing. And it's a peaceful sound. For the Jews, it was the sound of victory. Jesus will die. What was the water symbol to Pilate? I'm innocent of the blood of this man. Do we have buckets like Pilate in which he washed his hands? To Jesus it was the sound of death, rejection, condemnation. Verse 25, and all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And this happened. Verse 26, then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This was the first 39 lashes. Would more be administered? If Jesus did not receive a special body, he would have been beaten to death. 1 Peter 2 verse 24, by whose stripes you are healed. Molupe, is it singular or plural? It's singular. His whole body was one big wound. Not only 104 lashes, his entire body was just one big open bleeding wound. What a lesson can I learn from the way Jesus behaved himself. The crueler they treat him, the kinder he behaved. And us? Do I become kinder when people scold at me? Does my peace increase when I'm falsely accused? When I'm treated like Jesus, do I become bitter or better? At Calvary, Jesus died in the greatest loneliness, rejection, and pain. I had the privilege of climbing Calvary 3 times. This was when I was still a young man. And recently I managed to get up there. It's a Muslim graveyard. It was here that the price for my sin was paid. It was here where God revealed his unselfish love for me. How do I say thank you? Please tell me. I really don't know. I visited this cemetery in London, Bunyal Fields. The rejecters, the outcasts, were buried here. I love the music and the lyrics of Isaac Watts. He says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Since I, who was undone and lost, have pardoned through his name and word, forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my Lord. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love from mingled down. Did ever such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? With the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Jesus says, I've given my all. What would you like to give me? Father, all we have to give is our sinful self. But thank you for accepting us in the mess we are. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for preparing a heavenly home. Amen.